Come on, Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marty! Border charcoal, that bastard!
Beast!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish Conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that, and
of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny! Do not vomit me!
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 83 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, December 13th, 2015. This is Aaron, and in this episode we talk about three-on-three, concussions, and little pubes. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hey, hey.
How's it going, fellas?
You know, yesterday was my national holiday, and nobody said thank you or anything to me.
Really?
Did you expect it?
No, because I'm crew, so it's National Sound Tech Day. It was 1-2-1-2.
Well, we couldn't hear you because you had the volume too damn loud.
What? I can't hear you. It's too loud.
Yeah, let's go get dinner on Thursday.
Oh, man, I forget this one. What?
That's a bad sound guy joke there. I'm sure I butchered somehow.
Yeah, you did, because I can't even remember how that goes now. But, you know, I'm crew, so we never get the appreciation anyways.
Motley Crew?
No, those guys just, you know, get no satisfaction, but that's somebody else.
No, that's the Rolling Stones, sir.
Wow. You really don't listen to the bands that you know, you don't listen to bands at all, do you?
Why would I?
Oh, boy.
Damn musicians just making me work.
Just making all that racket, ruining your ears.
God, why do you guys got to be so loud? So enough about my profession.
Yeah. You know, before we get into other people's profession in hockey, I'd just like to remind you, you can follow us on Twitter. We are at Three in the Box, and we talk hockey, live tweet games, and awesome stuff like that. Let's get into the Wild Week.
Yeah, kind of a tough week. Two overtime losses, you know, but a shutout to, you know, nice little icing cherry on top. So they get 4 out of a possible 6 points this week, so move up a little bit in the standings. The goals for, goals against, they even at 4-4. I mean, so it's been some really tight games all around. Kemper gets, you know, he got his first real shutout of the season, not a half shutout that he doesn't get credit for.
Yeah, he got credit for that one.
Yep.
That was last night's game.
Yep.
So, and that was against, you know, that one.
The team. Sharks.
The Sharks, thank you. My message got blocked and I don't know what I'm doing. And then Parisi, Pominville, they get points in all three games. So, I mean, that line is producing right now.
And Granny's, I think, got 13 points in the last 15 games.
Granny was on for, I think, 3 out of 4 of those.
I mean, Granny's, I mean, all three of them have been putting up points at least recently.
That line's been top notch for the top line.
They're the only ones who are scoring right now.
But there was a D involved,
which is an issue.
Right. Yeah, it is. That's a very big issue. Parisi touched on all 4 of those goals, which is nice to see him back in stride.
But our point scoring stretched is up to 6 or 7 games now, too.
Yeah.
Where we've gotten at least 1 point in a game, even though there's been a bunch of overtime losses in that stretch.
You know, so at least we're not coming up nil on anything.
Right. But there are some of those games where they should have been, you know, they should have been winning in regulation.
Yeah, they had a lot of, I saw a lot of missed opportunities, I'll say, for the last week. I mean, I think it was against Arizona. There was a stretch where they hit like 3 or 4 posts.
I think right, it was. Right, yeah.
Arizona at the end of the second had 7 shots on goal.
And they generally just didn't look very good. I mean,
yeah.
The Wild let them hang around. And, you know, when I say hang around, they, you know, basically bludgeoned Max Domi's face.
Oh, yeah. He
made him look like Ty Domi.
Right.
Hey, Dad, check it out. You jealous?
He took a knee to the face, a stick to the face, and a puck to the face, all in a single game.
Rough.
That was like the meat face hat trick or something like that.
We'll just say it wasn't his night.
Well, right. Is this going to be the domey trick?
The domey trick. I like it.
You know, we did win on the second half of a back-to-back, though, against San Jose, which was awesome, with a shutout by Kemper.
I mean, I'm too lazy to look it up, but it feels like it's been a while since we've...
One win
in San Jose, but also win on the back half of a back-to-back where you lost in the first game. It seems like whenever we lose that first game, we're screwed that second game.
Just snowballs.
Right.
Yeah.
A big downfall right now, though, is in those three games, we're 0-for-8 on the power play against all three of those teams. Colorado's been... Yeah, exactly. Colorado's been pretty tough on their power play lately. So that one, not really excusable, but...
Right. You got to wonder how much of this is going to be put on Brunette. Because this is now 2 years in a row where the Wild have gone through a huge slump on the power play.
Well, we started off pretty decent on the power play this year. Yeah. Not like last year where, I mean, it was like a struggle right off the bat. I mean, this we kind of slumped into this one.
But a slump is a slump, regardless of whether it starts at the beginning of the season or it comes mid-season, right?
This is true.
I think I remember, though, earlier in this season even, where we went through a similar slump.
And not this bad, though.
No. But, yeah, it is. I mean, the power play and special teams in general, even playing shorthanded, we haven't necessarily been as strong as we have been in the past.
No, you're right. I mean, I think we've had a little bit more shorthanded opportunities than I've seen in the past. Just not.
Been a lot of pipe or whoever's got the breakaway is just not... nimble enough to make a goalie.
I mean, look at the Wild scores as of late. I mean, nobody's been hitting the back of the net. You know, power play, shorthanded,
not scoring at all.
Exactly. So, I mean, where does that whole factor come into play?
Yeah, 4 goals over 3 games. The fact that we got 4 points is pretty amazing, actually.
That's kind of some slow hockey to watch, too.
Yeah, but it says a lot for our goaltending. I mean, Kemper has stood in there strong this week.
Oh, absolutely.
Played some good games. I mean, I know there was a few points where I saw that he might have been showing a little bit of rust from sitting on the bench so long, you know, where he was kind of indecisive, you know, like as far as like on some breakaways and stuff like that.
But, right. Yeah, I know he got beat on at least one of the breakaways.
Yeah.
In the Arizona game. But, you know, last night he looked spectacular.
Somebody oiled up the Tin Man last night. I mean, holy cow, he was back and forth, and he had some amazing saves last night.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my points there, was because, I mean, yeah, by the time last night came around, I think it was Pavelski that he had a nice little poke check and knocked the puck away when Pavelski was coming totally free into the front of the net. You know, where was our defense then? I don't know, but...
Well, we had Kemp's up there.
Kemper got his stick on the puck and knocked it away.
So, I mean, you think we're going to start seeing some more Kemper and a little less Dubnyk now, try to even out some of this goalie situation?
I do think that the team is obviously going to have more confidence in him at this point now, putting up not just one or two good outings, but, I mean, that was 3 solid outings, as far as I'm concerned, from Kemper this week.
Well, I think an even different question is I don't think they're necessarily going to, if Dubnyk's healthy, they're going to go back to playing Dubnyk the way they played them. I can't imagine they would play Kemper more now. However, that means you're going to have a lot more teams sniffing around as we get a little bit further in the season here, looking for someone to grab. And at this point, you know, Dubnyk's already shown he's got some, he's ailing this year. Would the Wild even want to entertain trading away, you know, the milkman and then potentially not having just Backstrom as our sole backup? you know?
You know, this is what we saw 2 years ago, though, and when he was up for free agency, and his agent did a number on the GM, you know, and got a lot of money out of the Wild for a player that wasn't as solid as what he was getting paid for.
And I don't think at this point that the Wild would want to give away a solid backup. We've had too many years where, you know, our top goalie goes down and we're scrambling for, you know.
But what if you got someone like Edmonton knocking on the door? They've got goalie problems.
Yeah, we usually pick them up.
Well, if they're going to offer something that's good enough,
you know, a nice forward or a center to fill some of our scoring woes, you know, because they've got hurt or terrible goalies right now in Edmonton. I mean, that'd be one where I go.
Edmonton, I think, has had worse goalie problems than the Wild.
Well, that is where goalies go to die.
They get resurrected here.
Right. But that's the other thing you got to think about is the Wild have really nothing to fall back on after that.
Right.
So that's where I don't know that they would deal him away. But,
you're more to the point where it's got to be something too good to pass up.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. I don't think, without like an extravagant deal for a proven, you know, young player that
won't be very expensive on top of that.
Right.
So then I'm guessing neither of you are surprised that we didn't see Backstrom at all on the ice.
I mean,
other than warm-ups.
You know, considering we thought Dubnyk would be back by now, I was a little surprised we didn't see Backstrom in the second half of the back-to-back.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I'm not upset at this point because I don't know what a Backstrom in net last night would have meant. You know,
well, you know, like Jive said, I mean, it's not like Kemper played bad. I mean, he let in two regulation goals in three games. That's not horrible.
That's not horrible.
What a scrubber.
Right? I mean, honestly, the 4 points out of three games would be one loss and two wins if you look at it all regulation.
Right.
Now, the only crappy part about that is the other two teams ended up getting 2 points against us. Colorado hurts a lot because it's the same division. You know, Arizona hurts a little bit because it's the same conference, but not quite as bad. You know, you start getting into that with teams that are hovering around us like Chicago, you know, or the Preds. That's where it's going to start really hurting, and you can't be doing this.
I mean, I don't think the problem here has been goaltending at all. The problem is offensively, we are not putting up anything on the board. I mean,
and maybe it's, you know, we've talked about this in the past, you know, who's our scapegoat right now? You know, maybe it is time to start looking at those bottom lines because they're, you know, what is Porter contributing to this team other than PK? You know, he's not winning. You know, remember Konopka, you know, he was the PK guy, but he'd also win faceoffs and he'd be a punching bag, you know, when needed.
Yeah, but, you know, you get a good faceoff guy when you got the puck in your zone during a PK. That's enough to send the puck the other way.
Oh, definitely.
And you're good for, so you what's, know, 20
what's,
seconds.
But what's Porter bringing to the table then? You know? I'll verge into a spot where I'm not terribly comfortable with, but, you know, someone like Halla, what is he contributing at this point?
You know, I used to really like Halla, especially on the PK, because he had some speed to show with it, and it seems like he's lost some of his step. You know, I don't see him nearly as quick as what he was with the Gophers, and when he came up his first year, he doesn't seem nearly as quick to me.
But how much of
it? And he's not very strong on the puck, from, you know, what I've seen this year.
He's got a little bit of grip for a small guy, but at the same point, he's paired with Carter and Porter. How much of a
chance has he got?
Right, exactly. Right. I mean, you might as well put him in Iowa at that point. They'll score more goals than Carter and Porter will, you know?
I mean, at this point...
Barely.
Maybe.
with Halla, I mean, I'd rather see, like, Zucker replaced or Zucker replace Halla in that particular position where on a PK, all of a sudden you get, you know, a shot where you can shoot the puck down and you got a guy who's got some speed to get down there for a potential.
And Zucker has seen some PK time.
This is true.
So,
but I mean, that's where I really liked Halla previously, and I'm not seeing that from him this year at all.
But how much of it is just him being in Yo's doghouse, though, too, you know?
Or is he just playing like he is because he's been in Yo's doghouse, and it's kind of, you whip the dog enough, and all of a sudden the dog just feels like that's how he has to be.
Yo.
And, I mean, really, in Halla, I mean, I've seen him even have chances that, you know, he's just not capitalizing on either. So I don't even know that it's completely just a product of the line that he's on. Given opportunities, I believe it was against San Jose last night. I think he had like a wide open net and shoots it wide.
Well, you know, we let Pominville do that though for 2 months and we had no problem with it.
I wouldn't say I had no problem with it.
When I say we, I mean, you know, apparently Yo didn't have any problem with it, you know. But, you know, Halla has one shot and, you know, all of a sudden he's, you know, basically on the way to Iowa.
Because in my honest opinion, that top line, you know, as well as it's been performing, I still don't think Pominville deserves a spot on that line. Honestly, that's in my opinion.
So,
but I'm not Yo.
So with Halla, I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys have worked with people of the similar stature or situation where the employee knows that they're not going to get promoted. They know that they're kind of stuck where they are, and they just go, okay, fine. Well, if this is where I'm stuck, this is how I'm going to perform. Is that what Halla's in right now?
I don't know about that. I mean,
you brought up Yo's doghouse. I mean, has he been there really this year?
Well, he's on the fourth line. I mean,
as a center, I mean, who are you going to replace him with?
Well, and that's part of the problem too. Is there's a
because he's not going to go up to the he's not going to replace Granlund. He's not going to replace Koivu.
Nope.
So
Coyle?
Probably not. Actually,
probably not. Yeah. I mean.
What if you put Coyle on that grinder line? Coyle's got a bigger body. Halla, you know, would have the speed on the third line, but you're still, I guess, looking at a, you know, a fill-in line.
Or actually, I'd probably make the argument you'd move Halla up one, move Coyle to the wing.
And then pull up another center?
Or acquire a center for that grinder line, you know.
Konopka. Get Konopka back.
Why not?
All right, so you know, we kind of touched on it a little bit, you know, ragging on Pominville, you know, so him, you know, touching on the puck, all three of these, you know, he's not putting the puck in the net, but he's still getting the points and he's still touching the puck before it goes in. I mean, do we keep ragging on him?
So because you missed the net wide and it bounces off of the
okay, you miss the net, you can
boards to Parisi and then he puts it in.
That was the intended play.
Oh, okay.
The stanchion just happened to redirect the proper direction this time.
Right. You know, as well as that line has been as much as that line has been scoring, they're one dimensional. It's get the puck to Parisi and let him score.
Yeah. And the way that Parisi gets his goals is not by that first initial shot on net. It's by digging and digging. Sometimes his second and his third efforts that end up, you know, netting us a goal. But
and it seems like some of the more physical teams, they know how to neutralize that line. You deal with Parisi. Pominville can't do anything on the boards. Granlund tries. You know, Granlund
gets beat around.
Granlund's smaller than Pominville, but he at least tries. Pominville's like, whoa, it's near the boards. I better not, you know.
Is this holding back Granlund a little bit from where he was last year? I mean, with Parisi getting all this attention. I've seen a few times where Granlund actually had a good shot to take, and he's passing the puck off now.
It does feel like he's shooting a little more than the last week or so. But I think there needs to be another scorer on that line. Pominville is, You know, he's not that guy, I don't think.
Yeah. He was.
He was, but I, you know, he's not really doing it.
The guy who I think honestly deserves a chance up at that line is Vanek. I mean, he's upped his game this year. He's come to play. I know that Vanek, you know, likewise has, you know, missed his fair share of the broadsides of the barn, but...
Yeah, but I mean, his snipe shot this year has been off the hook.
He's making these passes that I could only, you know, imagine if he was feeding Parisi with some of these passes. Oh man, that would be my call for our top line there. But I'm not yo.
You know, go ahead, Aaron.
Well, I think Parisi's going to score regardless of who's on his line.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, you need to put Pominville and Granlund in spots that they're going to score. I think, I personally think Granlund works well with Parisi.
Mm-hmm.
Pominville is a very boring player. It's really what it comes down to.
He's not a grinder.
He's not finesse enough where he's dancing around people.
Yeah.
He's just kind of middle of the road, and somehow he's, you know, I know we said this on Twitter a night or two ago. But he's got to be one of the most boring guys who ever scored 30 goals, you know, because he just doesn't do anything that exceptionally.
Yeah.
And you look at Vanek. Vanek's a guy who scored 30 goals, but you know what? He can be electrifying at times.
Vanek has been looking electrifying this season.
Yeah, he has. It's
a little bit flashy.
Whereas Pominville is just like,
And that's the thing is, you know, if you're average across the board at everything and you do everything well,
you're going to be doing okay. Yeah,
but if one of those parts drops off, then you know your game is down,
right?
Whereas if you're doing one or two things exceptional and the other things, you know, well, and part of your game falls off, you're still going to be an exceptional player.
You need to be a more complete player, and he's not a very complete player.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I was going to say, Jive, I totally agree with you. Moving Vanek up, I think, would open up that top line a little bit.
And I think he might have some issue with the wing situation and who's going to play offhand, but, you know, I think if you can get them to work within that, you know, why not?
I think that could open up a whole lot of offense on that top line. Move Pominville even down to the second line with Koivu, and who else is
like Coyle or Niederreiter? You know, someone who's a little more physical, because that's part of the problem too. Is that line is, you know, Parisi will get gritty and he'll get chippy, but that's all there is on that line.
And Vanek will get a little. Vanek doesn't have an issue with getting in there either.
Right, but with Pominville, Parisi, and Granlund, there's not a whole lot of physicality there, you know.
And I think we did see, I think it was against Colorado. Colorado brought a physical game.
Oh, yeah, they always do.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that compared to the last time we played Colorado, they definitely changed their tone a little bit. Yeah. I'm guessing Waugh had
his eyes bulged out a little.
He blinked a lot.
Coming to Jesus moment with him or something. But
And Waugh always goons it up at the end of the game anyway.
Yeah.
You know, that's it's his MO, you know.
It was him that threw out the fourth line fighting line against, who was that against? I want to say New York, but I don't think that's right. Or Vancouver?
Vancouver, yep.
And it was like the God knows how many minutes worth of penalties in the last, like,
right,
8 seconds of the game. Thank you, Waugh.
Yeah.
Why is it a ex-goalie that's pulling out the goon squad?
I don't know.
Did he not get enough goalie fights in his career?
Probably not.
Yeah. You know, he's always itching but couldn't do it.
Right.
Couldn't leave that crease.
That's probably why he pulls the goalie so early.
This is true. We had 2 3-on-3 overtimes over with those two losses. I know I was excited to see 3-on-3. And that first overtime game that the Wild had, I think it was against Dallas. And I was like, you know, this is really exciting. We've got, and we looked pretty good. I mean, obviously we didn't win that game, but we're like, you know, I was like, yeah, we've totally got the right guys to do this. And I think Aaron, I think we even brought it up on the podcast, you know, having some of like the European guys on there that are used to the bigger ice with the more open room, it's going to work out well.
Right.
It hasn't worked out so well for the Wild. They are now 1-6 in 3-on-3 overtimes. Have not gotten to a shootout yet.
Well, at least we haven't gotten to a shootout.
We haven't gotten to a shootout yet.
We've been moments away from one.
We have, yeah.
Which I don't know how I'd feel about a shootout right now either.
After an exciting 3-on-3, it would be a total freaking letdown.
It'd be a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
So what do you think? They should just go to 2-on-2 then after that?
Just call it a tie.
Just call it a tie.
Well, we did have a 4-on-3 against Arizona.
Yeah.
Well, or I guess we were 3, they were 4.
Right, right.
But, you know, to quote some really bad song, how do you like me now? You guys still liking the 3-on-3? Even though it hasn't been to our favor?
I'm loving the 3-on-3. I think that it's an exciting game at that point. The ice opens up wide. I mean, I know we haven't been coming out on top, but I mean, the chances that you see that come up in those overtime periods is, I mean, that's excitement. It's worth sticking around to watch.
And it's real hockey. It's not a shootout. It's not a skills competition.
Right. Still a team-based game.
Right. Yep. I think we shouldn't be mad at the 3-on-3. We should be mad at Yo and his pairings in 3-on-3 and his coaching in 3-on-3.
Okay, so what don't you like about his pairings right now?
Well, I know I was one who was a big proponent of, you know, looking at our European guys. You know, as much as I like Koivu, we don't need guys that win board battles as much, you know?
You're not going to have very many.
Yeah, you know, so the Wild should be killing it in these 3-on-3s because we don't win board battles. but for some reason, you know, it's like, I just don't get the pairings that go out on the ice. I really just don't get them. And obviously, they haven't been successful, so...
No.
Yo's got to look at that. You know, you just has to.
Well, something's got to change, obviously, because it's not going right at this point.
I mean, at the very least, you know, and I don't know if I've seen it yet, but, you know, maybe even monkey around, put 2 defensemen out there. You know, we're having problems.
We've got some great offensive
I think we have with Spurgeon Scandella.
Right.
I think
we saw that once.
That combo.
But that was probably only because it was an odd time in the line changes.
Right.
I could be. But, I mean, you know, you get those two out there. You know, even Dumba out there with one of those two where you've got some big shots and you also have some speed
right.
to go with it.
You know, and I just don't know that I trust Yo right now in that situation.
I mean, sorry, go ahead.
I don't know if they're not practicing it. I know they said in the broadcast, I think last night, that they had gone through an extra practice of the 3-on-3, but I don't know that it's working. I just don't, you know.
And
it is something new this year, though. So that's, I mean, granted, it's new for all the teams, but, you know, you're still trying to kind of feel it out and to know how it goes, you know.
And I haven't seen much from the other teams other than the 3-on-3s that I have personally seen. Yeah. But I haven't seen much with 2D and the forward from many of the teams.
No.
It seems like it's been a lot of...
Well, I'm not saying it would work for most teams, but I think, you know, our defensemen are actually pretty damn good scorers. So
they are, but it's not like we're not getting opportunities on our... On the 3-on-3s,
true.
We're getting opportunity. That's half the problem is, you know, we got to capitalize on the opportunities that are given to us in both regulation and overtime.
Right.
And I think that would help us out a lot. Obviously, putting points on the board is going to win you games.
Well, and Aaron, to validate your point, I mean, you know, going back to a topic we touched on last week, our D has been scoring. So, I mean, if those are the guys that are scoring, and you also have 2D out there at the same time, why not do it?
Right.
How about 3D?
That
who's gonna take the draw? You take the draw.
That's what she said.
This line coming to you in 3D.
Do we gotta change our name to 3D in the box?
Man. Family friendly show here. So speaking of families. The Doob abides. Dubnik and his wife, they welcomed in a new addition over the week here. Parker Dubnik is now a member of the Dubnik family.
Or as you've dubbed him, Pube. Pubnik.
Oh, jeez. Way to call out my mistype. All right. Where's the spell check on this sheet? All right. So anyways, with that, I've got a question for you guys. Let's look into the future. Is it you, Kenny, who thinks
Nostra
you can...
Kenny?
Yeah, Nostra Kenny is who thinks he can see into the future.
Well, it comes to me in waves, so...
In waves, okay. So, make a prediction for me on this. The setting is the year 2031. The Minnesota State High School Hockey Tournament.
Okay.
Not in the XL anymore. There's...
They tore it down.
Yeah, they tore that down.
U.S. Bank Stadium.
And for now, they're playing, sure, at U.S. Bank Stadium.
No, I'm predicting that.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with Dorito Mountain Dew Arena.
Who's winning the state hockey tournament that year? Will it be Edina with Parker Dubnik's in the net or on the ice?
Ooh, 2031 Edina Hornets. Are they still gonna be the Hornets? Nope.
Now you can't have insects as your mascot.
Jive, you're wrong. It's going to be the Edina's going to explode. They're going to have too many kids playing. They're going to have too big of a franchise. It's going to be the East Edina Green Wasps that win.
I'm calling it right now. All right. The East Edina Green Wasp will win it in 2031. You heard it here first, folks.
And Parker is going to be in net.
Parker will be in net. Parker will be
Parker
in net.
Parker Dubnik will be in net.
You heard it here first.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Hey, it just comes to me, man.
So now that we got the baby out of the way, and, I mean, they said Dubnik's, you know, it was a mild strain on his groin or something like that.
Yeah, right? His wife had a mild strain on the groin pushing that kid out. I think she was in more pain than he was. Yeah.
So the Wild...
Not that I know from experience or anything.
The Wild are going to be coming back home here. So is Dub going to be back now or is he still going to be on maternity leave?
Paternity.
He's like a mom.
It's Devon Dubnik.
So will he be back?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he will be.
As long as he doesn't gabberk it up with his groin, I think he'll be back here pretty quick.
Yeah,
I'm thinking he better get back in the net the way Kemps has been playing.
Well, you know, speaking of guys not coming back... got noticed this week that Keith Ballard has decided to hang it up at the age of 33. Obviously, last year, right around this time, he actually had that real bad hit by Matt Martin of the Islanders. Ooh,
that was ugly. That bounced his head right off the open boards.
I still don't like to think about that one.
It was a bad one, and
it also reminds me similarly of who was it we were playing the. Was that the Penguins? The guy who went into the open door and...
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Penguins.
Yeah, that's... And those doors... Did we already talk about that 1 week or something? I don't think they should be opening the doors when they're in play.
Well, that almost happened to your favorite player. Not Carter, Porter.
Right. Yeah.
Against San Jose.
Yeah, I think it was just last night. Yeah. But it was ended up being okay.
He missed the door, but he's still banged up. It looked like his wrist, maybe.
He came back though.
Yeah.
But you know, Ballard, he said he thinks he had this is kind of weird thing. He thinks he had 5 concussions during his career. But that's not including, you know, times where he had his bell rung.
He thinks he does.
he thinks he does. Yeah, yeah, and I love this quote. And he had a quote. They're asking, you know, about his decision to retire. He says, "I didn't want to retire at this time, but with the bigger picture in mind, it was a no-brainer."
Oh, man.
The no-brainer.
Oh.
So do you think he was trying to be funny when he said that?
I don't know.
Maybe he's got a little sense of humor in there.
But right? He also says with a bigger picture in mind. So he's dropping it through the whole sentence.
Dad jokes.
Hashtag dad jokes.
He was definitely throwing some puns in there. Yeah,
but he wasn't thinking about it.
He's back at the U of M pursuing a degree in sports management, taking a full course load, actually. Wow. He was asked whether or not he's going to be become an agent. And he's like, I don't know. People always ask me, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And it's like, I've had the greatest job for the last, you know, decade here, decade plus. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Well, and that goes for a lot of these guys. I mean, it's a great job right now.
Right.
But you know, it's obvious that it's not forever.
Aaron, weren't we just having this discussion watching a hockey game, like, earlier this week?
Yeah, I think so.
About, like, so, yeah, Jive, like you're saying, like, you're on top of the world right now.
Yeah.
How do you fill out your resume? Like, job history, hockey player, 10 years.
Yeah.
Why are you qualified to work at my insurance agency?
Right.
Well, I was a hockey player.
I saw a lot of doctors, and I know what's fake and what's real.
I can be a great claims adjuster for you.
I was
the enforcer, so if people don't follow, I'll rough them up.
I mean, that's really cool that, you know, you actually see somebody that has gone through it and now going back to college to actually get their degree. I mean, I wonder. Because obviously, you know, he had took all his generals at the U and
right
and had gone through that. If the U will let him take basically refresher courses,
he doesn't even really have to do that. I mean, all those credits.
It's for a master's now, though, isn't it?
I don't know.
No,
but I mean, you would think that if you're not using some of that stuff, you're going to want some refresher courses in there just to get you back up to speed with the rest of your class.
Yeah. Provided that's what he was majoring in, you know, a decade plus ago.
Right.
You know, I hate to say it, but, you know, when I'm thinking about, you know, my best Keith Ballard memories, when I say Keith Ballard, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Almost the same thing when you say, well, Burns has a few things, but, like, I mean, the amazing hip checks.
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm totally gonna miss those hip checks because I think it was a game actually earlier this week where
we were talking about that too.
Where, you know, someone laid an awesome hip check out and it's like, wow, that was Ballard like. You know?
there's almost nothing better in hockey than a great hip check. When somebody lays that hip out there and it's the whole visual thing. I mean, it happens in football as well. Anytime you see a guy going flying through the air, I mean, it's
basically
it's excitement
off of their own inertia, just getting stopped by somebody's hip.
Yep,
like, dude, I stuck my ass at you, and you went flying.
Right.
You know, and you don't see very many of them anymore. I mean, you see a lot of like just straight up checks, body checks,
right?
You know, some bad cross checks, hits from behind, but just that artful skill of a just thought out, perfectly timed.
Just knowing when to stop, bend over, and let him fly
over. Hip check
over
and
you.
Let him go right over you. You know, and Burns was phenomenal with that too. And Ballard actually, you know, he had some absolute beautiful ones. So,
Let's.
I think we got some questions from our peeps.
Yeah, let's go tweeps. To Twitter talk.
Our first one tonight comes from Dylan Jones at Zombie Dance Prod. I'm guessing that's short for production.
Or productions. Or just pushing one.
Or products.
Or just you're just prodding them like
Zombie Dance Prod.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Or Pro D.
Or produce.
No, like Pro D.
Oh, Pro D. Yeah. He's for the D.
And he's pro at it.
He's pro at the D?
Yeah, why not?
No, he's for the D.
He's for the D.
Anyway.
Let's get to his question. Dylan, about...
So, your question is, Minnesota's power play looks as if they're standing still. Could this be... Could this be cause for their woes?
I would definitely say it's probably a big part of it. I see them moving the puck fairly well on the power play, but the problem is they're not moving their feet. And when you're not moving your feet, that means that the penalty kill unit is going to be able to remain fairly stationary.
Right.
They're not going to get wore down or tired out, and you're not making them move to open up other lanes for that good pass. And
when it doesn't help that half your guys aren't willing to shoot.
Well,
and I'm not going to be one of those guys that's like yelling shoot shoot shoot. You know
why not? It's supposed to help the NHL,
right? Apparently, but at the same point, you need to have guys that are willing to shoot.
Yes.
And that's a big difference.
Yeah.
If you're stationary and people aren't willing to shoot, great, you're in the offensive zone for a minute and a half in the power play. Doesn't matter because you had no open lanes. You had no actual scoring chances.
Well, good on you. I think it was on a power play from, I can't remember if it was last night's game or against Arizona, who I saw. It was somebody right in front of the net, like, below the hash marks, between the circles, and instead of shooting the puck where there was a lane, he decides to dish it to a guy on the Wild that's less than a stick length away from him to basically take the same shot and give the goalie more of an opportunity.
You know, and this was said, I don't remember who we were having this conversation with on Twitter, pre-Parisi's injury, that, you know, basically our second power play line at that point was going to be, you know, was more effective because there was more than one player that would actually shoot the puck at the goalie.
Yeah.
And, I mean, right now, I mean, from what I've seen, the power plays have been pass, pass, pass. If you're lucky, I mean, I haven't even seen much of the going around the perimeter.
People are shooting from the blue line, and you're going to get some tips and some things.
Dumba might hurt somebody.
Right, but but if you're only taking chances from out there, you're not going to score a ton of goals, you know.
So, yeah, no, I think that is a definite big cause of their woes, you know, with them standing still.
Okay, second question from Derek Felska, regular contributor to the Twitter talk section. That's at State of HCKY News. State of Hickey News. Who needed the victory in San Jose more, Darcy Kemper or the Minnesota Wild?
I think I'm going to go with the Wild. I mean, I think it's going to up Kemper's trade value. It's going to work with trade bait. You know, it will definitely factor in for Kemper as well, for him getting another a better contract potentially. Right. But I think it'll also help the Wild using him as trade bait to get somebody in that we can, you know, use.
Well, I think more than Kemper or the Wild, I think San Jose needed a win because they're slumping at this point.
Oh, they can't win at home to save their lives.
Right.
So what happened to the dominant West Coast of the days past, you know? So,
well, it's good, though. I'll take that. And I agree. I think the Wild needed it. I mean, it's really good for everyone, but the Wild are getting it. You know, they get the win. They basically are auditioning Kemper and gives them a way to, you know, pimp him around and see if anyone wants to, you know, give up the farm for him. And, you know, we actually win at San Jose. We show that, hey, we can win at San Jose. At San Jose. We only won like twice the last 14 games there or something like that.
Yeah. One in the Shark Tank.
Yeah. So that's good.
And the second question coming in from Felska this week. Great question, too.
Very timely.
Yes. Which Star Wars character would Mikko Koivu be, or Zach Parise, or Mike Yeo, or Brent Burns?
Okay, let's get the easy one off the table first.
We all know Brent Burns is a Wookiee.
He's going to be Chewbacca.
Yes, yes, sir.
All right.
Mike Yeo, I'm going to go with our Yoda. I mean,
you're going with Yoda?
Yeah.
I'm going with C-3PO.
Totally C-3PO.
Oh, with that head.
With the chrome, the chrome dome. I'm going C-3PO on Yo.
Although we've never seen C-3PO drink water.
Okay, I'll give you that. Koivu, I see as Han Solo.
A Han Solo, huh?
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett?
Yeah. Doesn't speak a whole lot.
Ooh, gah, gah, gah,
just shows his just is there, threatening, menacing. I'm going with Boba Fett.
He's not an Obi-Wan Kenobi kind of guy.
No.
Wise and knowing. I mean, he's an older guy in the locker room now with the most experience.
So you're going to Yoda with him, maybe?
Not even that old.
Because
you're just looking at a Jedi who's training somebody younger.
Yes.
See, I think Obi-Wan talks a little too much, and so Yoda.
I'm just going with Han's the whole, like, just kind of stoic, and you piss him off, and all of a sudden he's going to be, like, in your face.
See, and I disagree. I think Parisi's Han.
I see Parisi more as Skywalker.
Parisi is definitely Skywalker. I got to agree with Kenny this one.
I totally disagree. He's Han. He's the cool guy that everyone wants to be.
He's not the guy
gets his hand cut off. I mean, come on now.
Okay, so
that might be Ballard. Might be Skywalker.
Zach, I am your father.
Ooh.
Says J.P. Parise.
Okay, so I've got a variance of this. So who would be Darth Vader?
Wah. Wah, totally wah.
Wah.
All right.
Who's Princess Leia?
That Palmaville.
One, Hala.
That one chick in the crowd that was like, kick his ass, Charlie. Kick his
Charlie.
Ass. Kick his ass. There's Leia.
What about Ewoks?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
That would probably be.
The Sidine twins?
I'm thinking it's got to be someone small like Hala.
Spurgeon?
Spurgeon. No, Spurgeon doesn't have enough hair.
Spurgeon and Burns on a line? Yeah, interesting. All right, so anyway. Enough with that. Let's talk about what's coming up.
Well, we got a little bit of a week coming up here. The Wild are coming back home for a little two-game stint here. We got the Canucks on Tuesday and the Rangers on Thursday, and then we'll finish it up at the Predators on Saturday night. I don't know. It's looking to be nice to come back home. Kenny, do you want to give us your choice for the game of the week in there?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Rangers. It's the only time we'll see them here this year, unless there happens to be a cup battle between us and the Rangers. You know, the Rangers are actually sitting pretty nice right now. They got a few more points in the Wild. You know, they're playing pretty good, and they've got a Swede and a Finn for goalies.
Swede and a Finn. Does that put them a step ahead of the rest?
I just see some, like, you know, intercontinental fighting happening.
Oh. Yeah, those are two warring countries, I'll tell you that.
They don't like each other.
Yeah. So, let's roll for some picks here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Aaron, what are you thinking?
So, I'm thinking the Wild are going to win. Both teams are averaging about 5 goals per game combined, so I'm going to go with a 3-2 win for the Wild. The Wild have a slightly better record at home than the Rangers do on the road. But I still think it's going to be really close because both are really good teams, and I'm going to go with the Wild winning 3-2 in overtime.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, you're going with an OT game.
Yes, I am.
I got to agree with you. I think it's going to go into OT as well. Because, yeah, I think really on paper these two teams probably match up pretty well.
Right.
You know, the Rangers have had some scoring woes of their own as of late, too. But I'm going to pick the Rangers to win this one in OT, 3-2. I mean, basically...
No confidence in the 3-on-3 of the Wild.
I don't have it yet. I mean, I've got to be proven different. You know?
Sure, yeah.
So,
no arguments on this end.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give the Wild a little bit more of a shot than what you two have. I think it's going to be a 3-1 Wild victory. Okay. I think our goaltending's starting to come around. If Kemper's in, he's going to be coming in with some confidence. I mean, there's a couple of games to play in between there. But I think if Dubnyk comes in, he's going to be riding high on a new kid. And I'm seeing a 3-1 Wild victory with the one goal kind of being a fluke goal or
empty netter.
Why would there be an empty netter?
Why?
With a 3-1 Wild victory?
Yeah. Hey, you got to pull the goalie.
Why would the Wild pull their goalie?
The Wild wouldn't pull their goalie. They're up 2-1.
Oh, and they would get it with an empty. Ah, I see what you're saying there.
Right.
I thought you meant like Rangers would get an empty net goal. No. I was like, what are you talking about, Lindgren?
No.
Wait, why are we doing a hockey podcast here? No, I'm thinking like a crappy breakaway, like a 2-on-1 breakaway or something stupid.
For the Rangers.
For the Rangers.
Got it.
So it'll be 3-1.
So you think basically the Wild are going to stomp them except for this one little mistake?
I think one little fluke goal that's going to allow the Rangers a goal prevent the shutout.
Cool.
So, all right.
So I think we've got a podcast here. So, you know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the Box, and again, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Kenny, what do you got?
Yeah, you can find all about my interests and followings at about.me/IamKenny. That is KENNEY. Jive.
Hey, and you can find me. I'm also on about.me, about.me/JiveMidnight.
All right.
After Jive Midnight.
The Wild gonna let it all hang out.
Let it all hang out. That's right. All right, folks. Have a good evening.
Take it easy.